أستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. When alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from your good deeds, and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baydu, searching the most truthful speech, is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. For every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a strain. And every strain is in the hellfire. As we proceed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and Allah has made for you from your homes a place of rest. And this is Surah An-Nahl, Ayat 80. And Ibn Kathir says about this ayat, he, the most blessed and the most high, mentioned his complete favor upon his slaves from what he has created for them in regards to their homes being places of tranquility. They are places of refuge, screening, and a benefit from all aspects. So first we need to look at what is a house and what does a house do for us. A house is a place of eating, drinking, sleeping, a place for marriage, and a place of rest. It is also a place of privacy, meeting with one's wives and children, and also it is a screen to guard the women from what is outside. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zab, Ayah 33, and abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. So can you imagine not having a home, living in a shelter or a refugee camp with no place of leisure, no place for privacy? None of us would want to be in such a situation. Chapter, Motives for a Muslim to Reform His House. So why is it important for us to reform, to rectify or transform or fix our houses? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارٌ وَقُودَهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. O you who have believed, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is many stones, over which are appointed angels, harsh and severe. They do not disobey Allah and what He commands them, but do what they are commanded. So first we need to look at this ayat, and it begins with, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. And when the Muslim hears the term, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, his ears should perk up and he should pay close attention. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring something, and he's going to tell you to do something, that if you did it, it will earn you his pleasure. Or he's going to bring something that is a prohibition, that if you did it, it will earn you his displeasure. So whenever you hear, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, the Muslims should pay close attention. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qu anfusikum, save yourselves. So before you can save anyone else, you have to save yourself first. It would seem weird and funny if you were a type of person who were telling people to do this and do that, which would be good for them, but you didn't do it yourself. So you have to start with yourself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ahlikum, and your families. Then you work on your families. So it starts with the master of the house, whether it be the father or the mother, and then it goes on to the rest of the family. And what are we saving them from? We're saving them from the fire. The fire whose fuel is men and stones. Over it are angels, harsh and severe. And these angels never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels to throw you in the hellfire, that's it. It's going to happen. Secondly, the importance of the questioning of the shepherd about the home in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. In a hadith related by An-Nasa'i in Ishraq An-Nisa, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Most High will ask every shepherd about his flock, whether he was heedful or neglectful, even to the extent of him being asked about his family. So without a doubt, we will be called to account on the Day of Judgment on how we dealt with our family. Next, the home is a place to safeguard oneself. It is a place of security from evil and protection from the people. It is also the legislated place of refuge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tuba, and Tuba is a tree in paradise. Tuba is for the one who controls his tongue, stays in his home, and cries over his sins. Furthermore, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Whoever did one of these five actions has the protection of Allah. Whoever visits the sick, or leads as a warrior, or goes to his leader to rebuke him, or to honor him, or stays in his home so the people are protected from him, and he is protected from the people. So during times of fitna, we have to follow the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, safety for a man in times of tribulation is to stay in his home. And this does not mean going out for the necessary things like work, and for the men to go to the masjid and to pray in the jama'at. This means when things are really bad, that you should spend most of your time in your homes. And you should busy yourself with hobbies and doing things that are keeping you close to the home so that you're away from the people. Next, the people spend most of their time inside their homes, especially in extreme heat or cold, the rain in the beginning and the end of each day. And right now we are faced with the winter months, so most of us spend most of our time in the homes. And we don't want to waste our time in unlawful things. We want to do the things that are going to keep us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next point, and this is the most important, the home is an important means towards building the Muslim community. Indeed, the society is made up from the home, and it is the origin. The home is life, and life is the society. If the home is strong, then the community will be strong. And this will be in implementing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resisting the aims of the enemies of Allah, and to spread good, and to stop the evil from penetrating. So what we need is callers who are guides, students of knowledge, sincere mujahideen, a righteous wife, mothers who can educate, etc., to be born out of Muslim homes and to go out into society and to reform it. Hence, if this subject is so important and our homes have many evils in them and large deficiencies, negligence, and carelessness, it brings us to the big question. What are the ways in which we can reform our homes? Now, every Muslim home is going to need a husband and a wife, fathers and mothers. And this brings us to a very important subject. How do we choose a proper mate? Choosing the right partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, ayat 32, and marry the unmarried among you, and the righteous among your male slaves and female slaves. If they should be poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing. So beginning with the men, it is important to be careful in choosing a righteous wife with the following conditions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith in Al-Bukhari, a woman is married for four reasons: her wealth, her family, her beauty, and her faith. So marry the one who is religious and you will prosper. Notice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't say marry women for these four reasons. He said, okay, something's wrong with my computer. MashaAllah. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith collected in Muslim, the whole world is a place of enjoyment. The whole world is a place of enjoyment, and the best enjoyment of the world is the righteous woman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let one of you have a thankful heart, a tongue which remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a believing wife who will help in the affairs of the hereafter. A believing woman is specified in this hadith, so marry the religious ones with the correct aqidah, which means, you know, you don't want to marry women who the aqidah is not correct. You don't want to marry Shiite, Sufis, or anything like that. And another narration says, a righteous wife who will help you in your religious and worldly affairs is better than all the treasures that people have collected. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, marry women who are loving and prolific in giving birth, as I shall outnumber the other prophets through you. So this is another thing that we should be encouraged to do. Marry the women that have a lot of children. And one of the ways you can look at that and find it is look at her mother. If her mother is a woman who has a lot of children, then most likely the daughter will do the same. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, marry virgins, for they have the most prolific wombs, the sweetest mouths, and are the most pleased with little. So just as a righteous woman is from the good things, the bad woman is one of the difficult things. As is stated in the authentic hadith, from the joys of a righteous woman is when you look at her, she pleases you. When you are away from her, she safeguards herself and your wealth. From the difficulties of a bad woman is when you look at her, she displeases you and she answers you back. When you are away from her, she does not safeguard herself nor your wealth. Next, for the women. Likewise, one must look at the condition of the man who comes for the Muslim woman. His suitability should be according to the following conditions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if somebody comes to you and you are pleased with his character and religion, then marry him. If you do not, there will be discord on the earth and widespread corruption. Next, I would like to bring a question that was posed to Sheikh Uthaymeen. And the question is, what are the most important considerations a young lady should make when choosing a husband? If she refuses someone simply for economical or worldly reasons, would that expose her to the punishment of Allah? And this is his answer. The most important attributes that a woman must look for when selecting a husband are character and piety. Wealth and lineage are secondary considerations. The most important aspect is that the proposed groom is a person of piety and proper behavior. The person of proper behavior and piety will not do his wife wrong. Either he will keep her in a way which is proper, or he will leave her to go free in the best way. Furthermore, the person of religion and behavior may be a blessing for her and her children. She may learn manners and religion from him. If he does not have these characteristics, she should stay far away from him, especially if he is one of those who is lax with respect to performing the prayers, or he is known to drink alcohol. May Allah save us. As for those who never pray, they are disbelievers. Believing women are not permissible for them, nor are they permissible for the believing women. The important point is that the woman should stress character and piety. If he is of noble lineage, that is preferred. This is due to the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if somebody comes to you and you are pleased with his character and religion, then marry him. However, if he is suitable in other ways, such as economic standing and so forth, that is better. Adding to what has preceded, there should be good questions put forth, extensive research, collecting data, checking the sources and information so that there is less problems or friction in the home. The righteous man with the righteous woman can both build a righteous home, because the good abode will bear its fruits with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which is bad will produce nothing except misery. So it's important that the women have real walis and not the fake walis. Walis that will really check into the brothers and check out their situation. It's important for us to ask people who know the brother or the sister and find out more about them, know their family, and not to marry people who just appear on the scene. And just because a brother might have a nice beard, he may wear a nice white robe, he might have all these outward appearances of being righteous, but you don't know where he came from. So it's important for us to find out where people came from. And you should never marry someone who is not established to a community or a family that you know. The ways in which to reform the wife. If a brother is blessed with a righteous wife, then this is a great blessing and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is not the case because a man did not marry a religious woman, as he was not religious himself in the beginning, or that he married her hoping that she would change, or he was pressured by his relatives, then the head of the household has to find ways in which to reform her. This can happen in the following ways. We have to find ways to increase her faith by encouraging her.
Brother Abdul Rahim, we lost sound there.
Can you hear me now? Okay, maybe my computer froze. All right, one is praying the nightly prayer, making the tahajjud. Two, reciting the noble Quran. Three, memorizing supplications and remembrances in their relevant times. Four, giving charity. Five, reading beneficial religious books. Six, listening to beneficial religious cassettes. 7, choosing friends for her from religious people to create a bond of sisterhood for her, to talk about beneficial things with them, and to visit them to become closer. 8, to repulse the evil from her and to block the means to it by removing her from bad company and bad places. So all of this comes from a brother advising his wife. The next thing that the brother can do is boycotting his wife. And it is permissible for the man to boycott his wife if she creates problems in the family, whether it is in the home or outside, in accordance to the transgression and within the restrictions of the law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 34, abandon them in bed. As for boycotting her outside the house, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this when he boycotted all his wives by staying in an attic. But for us, we need to try to, whenever we boycott our wives, that we should stay in the house so that they can see us and we can see them. Likewise, bad behavior can come from the husband. And for this, we can go to a question that was posed to Sheikh Bin Baz. And the question goes, I have been married for about 25 years. I have numerous sons and daughters. I always face difficulties from my husband. He humiliates me in front of my children, close relatives, and others. He never gives me any credit. The only time I feel any rest is when I leave the house, although he does pray and he fears Allah. Please guide me to the best path I should follow. And Sheikh Bin Baz says, it is obligatory upon you to have patience and to advise him to act in the best way. Remind him of Allah and the hereafter. Perhaps he will respond and return to what is correct. Perhaps he will give up his evil behavior. If he does not, the sin is upon him, and you will get a great reward for your patience and bearing his harm. It is sanctioned for you to supplicate for him in your prayer and at other times, that Allah may guide him to what is correct. Bless him with proper behavior, protect you from his evil and the evil of others. You should also take into account of yourself and be steadfast in your faith, thereby repenting to Allah for whatever you have done in the past of evil and mistakes with respect to the right of Allah, the right of your husband, and the rights of others. Perhaps he has been given control over you because of some sin that you committed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 30, and whatever strikes you of disaster, it is for what your own hands have earned, that he pardons much. There is nothing to keep you from asking his father, mother, older brothers, relative he respects, or neighbors to advise him to treat you properly in response to Allah's statement, and live with them in kindness. And also in Surah Al-Baqarah 228, and do to them, meaning the wives, is similar to what is expected of them, according to what is reasonable. But the men have a degree over them, and Allah is exalted in might, wise. May Allah improve your affairs, guide your husband, and return him to what is correct. May Allah also gather the two of you together in goodness and guidance. He is the generous, the noble. The obligation of living with one's wife in kindness. It is upon the husband to live with his wife in the best way possible and to be lenient to her in anything which Allah has allowed. This is especially so if she is very young. There are many ahadith about this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you is the one who is best to his wives, and I am the best of you towards my wives. And also, if we look at the farewell hajj of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the advice that he gave the Muslims of that time and up until now. Listen and take my counsel with regard to women. Be good to them, for they are captives with you. You possess nothing else with regard to them other than this, unless they commit some flagrant obscenity. If they do, then separate the beds, meaning do not have sexual relations with them, and beat them, but in a way that does no injury. If they return to obedience, then seek no further retribution. You have rights over your wives, and your wives have rights over you. As for your rights over your wives, they are that no one disliked by you should sit on your bed, and that they admit no one into your home who you dislike. Yes, and their rights over you are for you to be very good to them in providing their dress and their food. And also collected in Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let no believer hate a female believer, though he may dislike one attribute of hers. He will be pleased with another. So there's always something that you can find good in your wife, and there's certain things that you're just going to have to overlook sometimes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer with the most complete faith is the one with the best character, and the best of those are those who treat their women the best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known to have entertainment with his family. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, on the eve, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me while the Ethiopians were playing with their spears in the masjid, saying, O little red one, would you like to watch them? I replied, yes. Then he had me stand behind him, and he dropped his shoulders so that I could see. I rested my chin on his shoulder with my face against his cheek, and I watched from over his shoulder. He kept saying, haven't you had enough? I kept saying no, in order to test my status with him, until finally I had had enough. Aisha said, one of the things they said this day was, Abu Qasim is good natured. And Abu Qasim is the kunya of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another version, she said, when I became bored with the exhibition, he said to me, have you had enough? I replied, don't rush, so keep on standing for me. When he asked me the second time if I had enough, I again told him not to rush. I saw him switching his feet from weariness, Aisha said. I really had no desire to look at them. I only desired for the news to reach the women of how he stood there for me and the regard he had for me, even though I was only a girl. And when she's talking about the women, she's talking about the wives of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to appreciate the status of a girl young in age and fond of pleasure and fun, Aisha said, then Umar came along and the people scattered, even the children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have seen devils of both human and jinn fleeing from Umar. Also on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, reported that she was once on a trip with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while still a young girl. She said, I had not acquired excess body flesh, nor had my body become large. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, move ahead, go ahead. When they had gone on ahead of us, he said, come and I will race you. And she beat him in that foot race. Later on, when they were on another trip, he said again to his companions, go ahead. Then he said to me, come and I will race you. I had completely forgotten the previous incident. Moreover, I had become heavier. She asked, how can I race you when I am in this condition? He replied, you will race me. So I raced him and he won the race. Then he began laughing and he said, this is for that victim from before. And one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do was drink in the same spot that one of his wives drank from a glass. So in the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be brought a glass of milk from which I would drink first, even though I was menstruating. Then he would take the glass and drink, putting his mouth on the same spot where my mouth had been. At other times, I used to take a piece of meat and eat from it. Then he would take it and eat, putting his mouth in the same area in which I would put mine. On the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, it said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, All things in which there is no mention of Allah are frivol, absent-mindedness, and idle play, except for four things. A man being playful with his wife, training his horse, and walking between two purposeful goals, and teaching another man to swim. So we're going to finish with words of advice to the husband and wife. One, we should be helpful, cooperative towards one another, to advise each other, and urge each other towards obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following all of His rulings, which have been clearly established in the Quran and the Sunnah. And these must never be superseded by blind following of any custom or method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zab, Ayah 36, it is not fitting for a believer, man or woman, when a matter has been decided by Allah and His Messenger, to have an opinion about their decision. If anyone disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he is indeed on a clearly wrong path. Two, each of them should fully carry out the duties and responsibilities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated them towards one another. Thus, the wife should not try to have all the same rights as her husband, and the husband should not exploit the role of leadership and authority which he has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he shouldn't oppress her, he shouldn't strike her, and he shouldn't be unfair to her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah 228, and due to them, meaning the wives, is similar to what is expected of them, according to what is reasonable. But the men have a degree over them, and Allah is exalted in power, wise. And Allah also says in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 34, men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient and guard in His absence what Allah would have them guard. As for those women on whose part you fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first. Next, refuse to share their beds. And last, beat them lightly. But if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance, for Allah is the Most High, Great. Muawiyah ibn Haydah said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muawiyah said, O Messenger of Allah, what rights do our wives have over us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that you should feed them as you feed yourselves, clothe them as you clothe yourselves, never invoke ugliness upon them. And this refers to a custom of the Arabs before Islam by saying to their wives in anger, may Allah make your face ugly. Never strike them in the face, and in boycotting the marital bed, do not go outside the house to sleep. How could you do any of these things after you have entered into one another? So do only that which is allowed with regard to her. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who do justice will be on the thrones of light as Allah's right hand, and both of Allah's hands are right hands. Those who are just in their rulings with their families and in all that which they were given authority. When they both know and practice this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them good life, and they will live for as long as they remain together in bliss and happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and has faith, to him we will give a new life, a life that is good and pure, and we will bestow on them their reward according to the best of their actions. It is especially incumbent upon the woman to be obedient to her husband within the range of her capability, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored men over women, as shown in the two ayat, that they have a degree or an advantage over them. There are many authenticated ahadith which emphasize the same meaning. They clearly explain the rights of the woman, whether she is obedient or disobedient. It is essential here that we quote some of these ahadith in the hope that there may be therein reminder for the women of our times, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and also remind them, for verily reminders are beneficial to those who believe. And this is Surah Al-Dhuriyat, Ayat 55. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not allowed for a woman to fast in the presence of her husband except with his permission, except in Ramadan. And she may admit no one to his house except with his permission. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, no woman has fulfilled her obligations to our Lord until she has fulfilled her obligations to her husband. Even if he were to ask for her when she is mounted on a saddle, she should not refuse his request. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every time a woman annoys her husband in this life, his wife among the Huriyin, meaning the wives of paradise, says, do not annoy him. May Allah fight you. He is nothing but a guest with you, and he is very close to be separated from you and coming to us. On the authority of Hassan bin Muqsan, who said, my aunt narrated a hadith to me, saying, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some need of mine. He said, how are you towards your husband? She said, I do not fall short in anything except that which I am able to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we'll look to your position in relation to him, for it is the key to paradise and hell. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a woman prays the five prayers, guards her private parts from anything illegal, and obeys her husband, she will enter paradise from any door she wishes. And with that, I'm going to stop here, inshallah. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.